Well, Father, we truly do thank you for being with us this morning during praise and worship, activating your children so they can fight the good fight of faith and win. I thank you, Father God, that your angelic hosts are here, walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to your people. Finish the works that you started in each one of us this morning, Father. Father God, we come to you as warriors. We come to you asking to take us higher than you did the last time we were together. And Father, we want to thank you for the blood of your Son that delivers us and keeps us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all know that the devil's on the move. Not glorifying the devil. What'd you do? Tell all your people stay home today on that side of the road? Everybody's on this side today. I'll have to check and see if you did something over there, say when said over there. It's different now. I got to look over this way. I might see you looking that way. We know that the enemy's on the move. He's on the move greater than he's ever been before. I handed out those papers about Matthew 24, wasn't it? And that's what's going to happen before the second coming of Jesus. That's why I handed it out. You could read it in your word, but I thought maybe if you had it in your hand, you might read it. Everything that it says in there that's going to happen before the second coming is already taking place. You know, it's very methodical, and God's working everything out. He has his plans all laid out before him, and he's not going to change his plans for you, me, or anybody else. You know, he's not dragging his feet. He's going on with his plans. Now, we have to make sure that we're on his timetable. We have to make sure that we're where he wants us to be at the time frame he wants us to be in. If not, we're going to really be messed up. So many people are out there, you know, if you're speaking the truth and telling the truth, they call you a cult. They would rather hear the lie than the truth. But you know the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. A lie won't set you free. You need to be telling your friends the truth, because God's going to hold you accountable for those around about you if you don't start telling them the truth of his word. Well, God called this the all-seeing eye. So let's see what God has to say here. God said, my all-seeing eye is always upon you, watching to ensure you stay on the path I have foreordained you to walk in. The strategies of the enemy change moment by moment, but I am unchanging. The strategies of the enemy change moment by moment, but God is unchanging. Whatever God has spoken in your life, that's what he wants to happen. And if things aren't going that way, then the enemy has thrown a little curveball in there. And we have to be making sure that we get it right, keep it right. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging. The Bible tells us God sees everything and is watching over us in Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. All right, God sees your heart. He sees what you are. Others do not see your heart. They cannot see it. They can only see what is outward. They can only see what you want them to say. Now your heart determines what you are in Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is what you think, feel, wish, and purpose that marks out what you are. Sometimes we are thankful that nobody can see that. Things are often outwardly so good and yet so bad within. You can come and be the sweetest person to my face, but inside of you is a raging demon. All right? But God sees it all that we are within, all that is happening in our hearts. The heart is transparent to him. It is as if it were made of glass. The second thing, God sees your life, what you do. Much of what is outward and all that is within is unseen and unknown by others. Many things are done secretly. Things are done that no one sees, which everybody denies, and sometimes it is impossible to find out who has been the wrongdoer. But God sees all. Nothing escapes his observation. He slumbers nor sleeps in Psalm 121, 3 and 4. It says, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The most secret thing that anyone can do lies open to God. He hears every word, though spoken in a whisper, every act, however hidden. His eye sees it all. And we all know that people come to us and act one way. But what they're really doing is they're doing secretly behind your back. But God knows all things. And if you're really walking in the spirit, somebody might be standing in front of you telling you something, but your spirit man's a little bit, it's saying that's not really true. Your spirit man's warning you that what they're saying to you is really not what's really going on. And I believe that most of us are walking in the spirit and you understand what I'm saying here. All right, the third thing, God sees you in the dark. People think they have the perfect answer for darkness. They use darkness to hide and cover their sins. We should never forget how we feel about darkness makes no difference to God. He sees in the dark just as in the light. So far as he is concerned, it is no use waiting till night, till it is dark, to commit your sin. I've noticed drug people, they do all their work at night. You know, they sleep all day, but at night they're up, they're prowling around doing their thing. And that's with all sin. People think that I'll wait till it's dark and nobody can see me, but see, God sees all things. All right, God sees you in the crowd. We speak of being lost in the crowd. Most of us have witnessed gangs do evil in a crowd. They become bold when they have a backup, but when it is one-on-one, it becomes a different story. They back down. Just as darkness makes no difference with God, neither do numbers. Each individual out of 10,000 stands out as distinctly as if there were only one. In other words, you could be one of 10,000, but you would stand out before God. All right. Number five, God sees you when you are alone. A strange feeling of being unobserved, to be at liberty to do anything, comes over a person when he is alone. Isn't that funny? That is what people do. It's not funny, but they think I'm all alone and nobody's going to know. Nobody can see. And then they start doing what they shouldn't be doing. There is such a sense of solitude that so far as anyone else is concerned, it seems to matter little what one does. To be left alone with oneself is far more dangerous for some than to be surrounded by people who tempt you. Many have found their way to prison and to ruin just by being left alone. But when one is most alone in the most out-of-the-way place, in the remotest corner of the earth, God sees. I know people in my house will run to the bathroom and shut the door. God sees you behind that closed door. He knows exactly what you're doing. Gehazi, the prophet's servant, thought he was all unobserved when he hurried after Naaman, the Syrian, after he was healed, and by lying got money from him, which he stowed away securely and then presented it himself before his master. Naaman was startled when Elijah said, Went not my heart with thee? And so God says, can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him? See, God saw Naaman hide that money. And so the person he was trying to hide it from is a person that can see all things. You understand that? I mean, you might be trying to hide it from an individual, but really, truly, what you're trying to do is hide it from God. You don't want God to see it. And people who do their little temptations or whatever in the dark, your wife or your husband might not see you, your friends might not see you, but God sees you, and he's the one that matters the most. All right? God sees you everywhere. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Jeremiah 23:24, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. God sees, this is point seven, God sees you always. There is no moment when he does not see you, night or day, waking or sleeping, alone or in company. It is told of Linus, the famous naturalist, who was incredibly impressed with this thought and described his conversation, writings, and conduct. He felt the importance of this so much that he wrote the Latin words over the door of his study. I can't say Latin, but it means live innocently, God is here. I think we all should have that over our door. We might well have these words before us everywhere. This is a thing that God really stressed upon me with the all-seeing eye. He said people are deceiving themselves, and they think that I'm not watching, and they think they're getting away with something, but what they're doing is digging their grave deeper and deeper and deeper. The only person really and truly you're really deceiving is your very own self. You know, guilt is a terrible thing, and when people do things in secret, then they feel guilty because they know they shouldn't have done it. And so then they walk in that guilt. What if somebody finds out about what I just did? You know, there's constant guilt. And this is what God wants to deal with here this morning. He wants you not to do things in secret. He wants you to be very open and honest, and then guilt won't have any place within you. All right? You know, I was told one time, you're just too honest. You just tell everything. Well, then there's no skeletons in my closet. And I don't have to be concerned about somebody finding out something. Do you know what I mean? And you know what would happen if I had something hid in my closet? The enemy would bring it out at just a right opportune moment to destroy somebody's faith in God. But again, I'm telling you, remember the little peanut, the cashew peanut? You know, I was fasting 40 days, and on the 40th day, I grabbed that cashew peanut and ran up them steps, and God said, who are you hiding from? He said, I'm watching you. I'm seeing you eat that peanut. You just lost your blessing. See, I didn't want anybody in the house to see me eat that cashew, but it was God that I was fasting for, and it was God who was watching me. You see the importance of it? You know, don't worry about what other people see. You have to be concerned what God sees, and he sees everything. And he wants, in this is a time frame that he wants us to be totally, completely honest with him. Just throw it all out there at him. And just say, this is what I am, this is what I've been doing, and I'm sick and tired of it, and I want to get rid of it, and I don't want no more skeletons in my closet. Just take it, Father. You know, I can look around this room, and there's some of you, you have things hidden in your closet, you don't want anybody else to know about it. Hey, there's nothing new under the sun. I don't think you can shock me anymore. What the world's already shocked me. You know, so just go ahead and get it out there, you know, and you don't have to put it on Facebook and stuff like that. Just get before God and say, God, this is what I'm hiding, and I just found out I'm not hiding it for you. I want to get rid of it. Watch the freedom you'll have. You have so much freedom, and you have a better walk with God. because you don't have to worry about him walking up behind you and smacking your head and say, what do you think you're doing there? Or opening up the closet door and revealing you when you're in the middle of your sin. Do you know the devil can do that, you know? He can make sure that door swings open and everybody can see what you're doing. All right, let's get back here to God. God said, children, always remember that what is done in the dark is always brought into the light. And Luke 12, 2 and 3, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. Isn't that what's being done right now in the government? All these secret things they were doing and thought nobody would ever find out, God's revealing it all. You have to pay for your sin. And there does come a day when God's going to, he's been saying, I'm going to lift your skirt. That's the phrase he uses. That means he's going to reveal exactly who you truly are for all the world to see. And the word said, I'd rather have the rock fall on me. How's that go? I'd rather fall than rock than the rock fall on me. So that's saying, I would rather go ahead and go reveal my sin than have God reveal it. And God is merciful and he is just. Luke 8:17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. My all-seeing eye is always upon you. This is what God is saying. My all-seeing eye is always upon you, watching to ensure you stay on the path I have foreordained you to walk in. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God's watching my path. I'm glad he's with me every day to say, all right, get yourself back where you should be. All right, get up out of that hole and move on, you know. Because without that, we might go into a hole and stay there. But because God is always watching over us, he's going to make sure we keep moving on. The strategies of the enemy change moment by moment, but I am unchanging. Now, changing strategies. When strategies begin to change in your lives, be sure it is the Holy Spirit leading, knowing this change is coming from heavenly places and not the dark side. All right? For the dark side is still trying to stir up confusion, so my children do not stay grounded and on course. God has his strategies, but the enemy has his too, to steal you away from your destiny. It's up to you to make sure that the enemy, that you're not following the enemy's voice. And God said his sheep know his voice and no other voice will they follow. So what you're going to have to do is make sure you know your Father and know his voice and know when he's leading and guiding you so that you're not deceived. And you know, the devil, you can really tell the difference. The devil will say something that you just know that your Father in heaven wouldn't say. You just know that because you know how your Father speaks. I have spoken and said, I am taking my children down different paths. Listen intently to the still small voice of instruction. I will speak volumes of instructions for all who have ears to hear. Now, God has told us in the past that he's changing our course of destiny. He's having us to go different ways to do different things. And I thought about that. Why do you suppose that would happen? Do you suppose that might happen because the person who was carrying a mantle to do a certain job dropped their mantle and then God needed to give somebody else that mantle to complete that work and you could fit the criteria so that, and God knows that you would be able to do that. So then God gives you that person's mantle. That's what I came up with. Doesn't that sound logical? Because why else would he be changing our paths? God said, with all of the confusion around you, the real war the enemy is creating is to make you completely lose focus on me. You have to be very careful in the days ahead. Are you listening here? You are a people of promise. However, you have an enemy who watches for ways to blind you from seeing the best God has for you. Your enemy plans strategies to divert you from accomplishing God's will and entering into his blessings. Your enemy plans strategies to divert you from accomplishing God's will and entering into his blessings. As things intensify, so will your focus have to. You have to be truly, really focused on God right now. You will have to set out intentionally to find me each day. And he says, I am here. Now, I'm going to sort of tell myself for this morning, for the first time since this illness has hit my body, I got up this morning not wanting to live. You know, you go from, you know, fasting and, you know, and your body gets back into shape. The swelling all goes away. And then minute you eat, the very next day, there's 15 pounds of fluid, you know, and the pain is all back again. And I just felt like there was no reason to live. I'm just being honest. See, this is what I'm saying. The enemy did this, you know, this is where the enemy had me this morning. And I came in here feeling like that. And Brother Allen prayed that away from me. But I honestly did not have any reason to live this morning. I was ready to just say, I did say, I'm done. But see, the enemy, your enemy plans strategies to divert you from accomplishing God's will and entering into his blessings. And the strategy was to make my body be so full of pain that it was unbearable all night and then this morning. And you can't do what you know you want to do, you know, and the enemy just goes on and on and on. I mean, that's my burden that I'm carrying, and this is what I have to fight. Your burden is different. You know, you have to carry your own burdens, but you have to keep fighting. And my fight was gone, totally gone, until Brother Allen prayed over me. This is why we need each other in the body of Christ. This is why we need to be open and honest. You know, this is why, you know, we shouldn't have anything hidden from one another. Because if I hadn't told that to him and Chris, he wouldn't have prayed for me. And I could still be standing up here not wanting to go on. Are you understanding this one? You know, I'm not saying this, I don't need your sympathy. Believe me, I don't. I'm just letting you know that this is how the enemy works with you. Seeing how God's talking about his strategies. I've gone through an awful lot up to this point that I could have quit any time along the line, but he just did a number on me last night. Okay, then God said, as things intensify, so will your focus have to. You will have to set out intentionally to find me each day. And this is what I'm going to have to do, you know, until I battle through this thing. I am there. Of course I am there, but there is such a war to keep you away. See that? You can't drop your guard for a second. All hell would like to separate you, to pull you away. I didn't know this was going to be my message to me myself. God goes on to say, there is an intensity in this that has never been there before. It is vital that you pursue me now, and it is vital that you begin your day with me. Every day, you know, before you get out of bed, the first thing you should do is invite Jesus into your day. Because you're not going to be able to make it on your own right now. Things are going to get rougher. They're not going to get easier. They're going to get rougher. And without having Jesus in your corner, before you ever start the day, you're not going to make it. I don't see how people do make it without putting Jesus in their corner. God said, I have a battle plan for every step of your way. I have ways to show you that battle plan. You don't need to fear that you won't know how to proceed. See that? However, the enemy is working overtime to keep you from focusing to hear that plan. Distractions around, and there is bad news at every turn. If you listen to it, distractions abound, and there is bad news at every turn if you listen to it, but don't listen to the bad news. So my body is screaming at me. I'm not supposed to listen to my body. You line up with the Word of God. I'm not going to put up with this mess you're doing. You see what I'm saying? Whatever it is you're dealing with, don't let it tell you what it's going to do to you. Interact with me in each part of your day. Keep me foremost in your mind. Let me be a part of every action, every interaction. Go through your day consciously saying, "What now, Lord? What's next, Lord?" Not in a bad way. God, what's coming next, you know? No matter how unimportant it may feel to you, just do it. My ways are not your ways. Listening to me, honoring what I say, honoring who I am. That's what he said, listening to him, honoring what he has to say to you, and honoring God for who he truly is, your Father who cares for you. And this will be your victory. This is how we will move forward. This is not a time to fear, but this is a time to be very intentional. See that? We have to be very intentional about everything we do. And if this has been really driven home to me really hard last night and this morning, I can no longer be, "Oh, well, I have to be online." Body, you're going to line up. Whatever it is, you're going to line up. Your finances, they're going to line up. You're going to have to make those things listen to you. There is strength in every action I give you. There is supernatural strength and grace in every step of your way. Don't expect these actions to be grand or mighty. It may be an interaction with someone in the grocery store. It might be a prophetic act that I have you do, which may seem minimal to you, but you haven't always seen the power of those acts. I have a purpose. He has a purpose for everything he does for you. Yesterday, for some reason, I didn't want to interact with anybody. I know now why, because this fight was coming. But I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to interact with anybody. You know, you shouldn't get upset with people that do that. You know, you don't know what battles are going through. And they don't need your mess. They need to be listening to God's voice, you know, listening to what God's saying to them so that they can get through, so that they're, once they're through, then they can help you come through. But people get all upset because they say, I just don't want to interact with anybody today. They get all upset, look a little snob. You shouldn't be like that, though. You know, honor, they're wanting to be alone. They're battling something. And they need to be alone with God. See, this is where the enemy, with his strategies, he'll put people around about you and keep you so busy with their busyness that you can't really pray the way you ought, you know, and get yourself set free. Do you all agree? Good. That was the right answer. All right, migration. The migration of my people has begun. They are migrating to where my spirit is moving. They desire to sit under the anointing. They are desiring the supernatural that my glory is bringing. The hour is late, but my children are beginning to move, and they shall accomplish mighty works for the kingdom of heaven. Finally, we're moving. Finally, we're doing something, you know, for God that's good. Just keep moving. When the enemy tells you you're finished, just keep moving. Don't let him keep you stuck there in a hole somewhere. There's always somebody worse off than you. There's somebody going through a worse battle than I'm going through. God told me you're not the only one in the boat. So quit feeling, he told me this years ago, quit feeling sorry for yourself. There's many in the same boat that you're in, and it's the same way here. There's many in the same, whatever boat you're in, there's people there with you. They're having the same problems. So don't get stuck on your own self, but get yourself unstuck so then you can help the others come across. Isn't that we're supposed to build a bridge? You go over that bridge, and then you bring others over the bridge too. Our job is always to bring others over into God's glory. Okay, then he said something. He said, where the eagles gather, the body will also be. And that was all he said. And so anyhow, Matthew 24:28 says, wherever the body will be, there will the eagles be gathered. It's a verse that in the Bible that refers to the second coming of Christ and a judgment he will bring upon unbelievers. And he said, this will be such an extraordinary turn of events for the body of Christ. They will never be satisfied with the mundane ever again. You must never forget that amidst this great event in church history, another is occurring worldwide, which is gross darkness. Gross darkness that has never before been seen will cover the earth with abominations that have never been seen or heard before. This is what, isn't this what God told us years ago? His glory was going to fall, but at the very same time, the darkness was going to keep getting darker. So we have to make sure that we are in the right place with God. We have to make sure that that we're carrying the glory so that we can break up the darkness to bring in the harvest. This is where we're at right now. We are in the midst of one of the biggest battles that heaven has ever been in, and we have to stand at our post at all cost. And we have to make sure we win our battle so we can bring others through. I know that each one of you in here, you have your own battles. And I know some of you sometimes think, I just didn't win the battle. You did, you just don't know it. Then that's why you're still sitting today, right? So don't let the enemy think you didn't win the battle, because you really did. And you'll eventually see the fruit of that battle that you were in. It's going to show up, I promise. Matthew 24:15-22 says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. When I was first born again in the 50s, God gave me this scripture. I didn't understand it worth tiddly then. But he also told me at the same time we were living in the days of Noah. So, all right, if all this abomination, desolation, this gross sin was going on in 50, and we were living in days of Noah in 50, in the year 50, they were before too. But it's just been escalating, you know, through the years and getting worse and worse and worse. You guys are the one that's in the very midst of this battle. And you guys are the one that God is raising up to really go forth as great warriors to win this battle and bring the harvest in. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant, for those who are nursing infants in those days. I wouldn't have a child right now for nothing. They're going to be brought in and up in a bad world. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world. What's going to happen? Great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. This will never happen again. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. You can also find it in Daniel 9:27. Then God said, do not be grieved in spirit by what you see and hear, but rejoice, for the king is coming for his bride. These things have to happen, guys. You can't pray them away. They are written. They are God's plans. And we ought to be rejoicing that we are. God said that in this era, well, he told us that the remnant churches are making a way for the second coming of Jesus. He told us right up front. And now he's still saying that we are, you know, the churches are just, remnant churches are still preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. I think that's awesome that you guys are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. You know, it's going to be so powerful. You won't even mind being persecuted. You're just going to be, I'm serious, you're going to be so happy you won't even mind being persecuted. It's going to be a glorious day. It's just like Paul, he thought everything was wonderful. All right, do not be grieved in spirit by what you see and hear, but rejoice, for the king is coming for his bride. Get ready to hear the trumpet sound and the clouds split open. That day is fast approaching, and everyone will know there is a God of the heavenlies. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." That is going to be a marvelous day. But in the meantime, we have a battle to fight. You know, and it's heaven against hell. It's God's people against the demonic forces of hell that's roaming the earth today, trying to destroy all that it can destroy before Jesus stops them. Are you ready to be a true warrior? Are you really ready to fight the good fight of faith? And no matter what cross you have to bear, you're not going to give in like I did, collapse for an hour or two or half a night or whatever it was, but you're going to say, "Yes, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for asking me to bear this cross, and I'll do it gladly to bring in the harvest of lost souls." Come on, the body of Christ, we moan and groan too many times. And God wants us to quit that. He wants us to be ready at every second to answer his call. Are you really ready to do that? You know, the youth group is getting ready to, they're getting their plans ready to start. I'm so excited, I can't hardly stand myself. Finally, I find people who are willing to fight to get the youth together. You know, is it going to be easy? No, it's going to be a struggle. The devil does not let you just, "Here, go ahead, just go ahead, take all my young people." No, he doesn't do that. He's, "So you think you're going to do this? Well, let me show you what I'm going to do." But then you have to retaliate and say, "Well, I'm going to show you what my Father's going to do." You know, and win the battles. Are you ready for really what's coming? Are you really ready for this glory drop that you want, that's going to give you all the power and the authority that God's been telling us? Are you really ready to go out there and let your light shine? If you're really ready for that, God wants you up at the altar.